Paul has written this letter to the church at Thessalonica. The Thessalonians are Christians, new relationships. And then last week he so adequately spoke to us about a new way to live, that Christians don't live the same old life that they used to. New way of living last week. And this week Paul comes to us in that same chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, and he says, you know, you got to have a new understanding. Don't know what was going on, just like last week. We didn't know if anything, was serious wrong, you know, any sexual improprieties was going on. Paul was just writing to this church at Thessalonica. And here, this morning, we see where he says, you know, you got this new way, new relationship, the new way of loving. You got a new way of acting as a Christian. And he says, you know what? You got to have a new understanding about, you got a new understanding about life, but you also got to understand death. It's inevitable. It's not a subject we don't like to talk about. The old preachers used to say everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And but Paul adequately, in another part of the testimony, say that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, don't want to die. Ain't in no hurry to die. But the question is why? Because you know, there's always some apprehensions about the afterlife. But Paul is going to correct that thinking this morning, Vanessa, in that he says people who love Christ and who know how they got saved, they don't have that issue about death. He says you can't be a maturing Christian and have this misunderstanding. He calls it ignorance, you know. But y'all, you know, today y'all get offended when people call you ignorant, you know. But ignorance simply means that you don't know. And Paul says, everything in life and in death, you can know about it if you read the B-I-B-L-E. All you need is the Word of God, folks. I know folk have talked to you about, you know, your Snapchat and, you know, push pay and how to do this. But all you need to know, I mean, when you got to figure out how you going to give somebody something, you're in bad shape. Just read the Bible. It'll tell you how to give. Tell you to give cheerfully. It'll tell you to give obediently. It'll tell you to give sacrificially. I mean, how many other ways do you not want to know how to give? But we still have. I digress. Paul was concerned, as I, about how Christians live. But he says it's just as important to know that Christians die and what happens to those who die in the Lord. He says you got to understand life, but you got to understand death too. Because if you think this life is all there is, if you really think that this is all there is to it, you really are, as he says to the Corinthian church, of all people, most miserable. Because this is not all there is. Getting up before dark, coming, hauling your brains out, sweating, being hungry, depriving yourself, missing your early morning meditation shows because it's Sunday. Hey, if there's all, and then you die? We're of all people most miserable. He says, no, I don't want you ignorant. Christians shouldn't be ignorant. And so he starts off in verse 13 and says, I want to share with you a new understanding. Verse 13 begins by saying, Paul says, because you're a new creature in Christ, you have an understanding that you're going to die. But you don't die in disappointment. You don't die in darkness. You have come into a marvelous light, and you live and you die in darkness. Not unlike the world. He says it shouldn't be that Christians act worse at a funeral than those that are not saved. Yeah, because, you know, you know, hollering and squalling and jumping all in the casket. Oh, I thought she was saved. I thought he was saved. He didn't say, don't cry. So we get that twisted. Don't be sorrowful. Don't weep. He's not saying it. He said, don't do it like the world does it. He said, because just like they had hope in life, when the Christian dies, there's hope in death. See, most folks think that when you die, you're done. Told you, I shared with y'all last week about someone that I met in my experience who just thinks that, you know, it's all over with. And then his wife died week before last. And he didn't show up in my normal spot this week. But there's a day of reckoning coming with me because, you know, the wife has gone on, don't know her status. But all you can be concerned with about those who are living, if you say you know Jesus, then you look forward to the day when you give up this ghost. Then yes, you look with great anticipation. That's why he said, you don't sit there fearing. Christians afraid to die. What are you afraid? Being afraid to die is like working hard. How many of y'all really know how to work hard? I mean, really, come on now. Work hard. A payday is promised. We're going to pay you Friday at noon, okay? We're going to pay you Friday at noon. Did you hear what I said? They're going to pay you Friday at noon. And here at 9 o'clock on Friday, you get scared to go to the paymaster. That makes no sense. What you work for all this time is about to come to fruition, and you're scared. Paul says, I'll not have you ignorant, brethren. That's not how we roll. Christians have a different perspective on death. They don't grieve like the rest of the world. And there's a reason why. He says, because when you grieve like the rest of the world, you grieve like there's no hope for the dead. And that word sleep there, it literally is sleep, because we know death. For those that have been in basic Christian doctrine, we know that death is simply separation. All death is separation. But Paul here uses the term sleep. He says, those that sleep in the Lord, their body is sleep, but the soul never dies. That their body is separated from the soul, because at the time of death, according to the guys that in basic Christian doctrine, they tell us that the body is put into the earth and the spirit goes back to its creator for those that are in the Lord. So you hooping and hollering about somebody who's getting paid. Oh, somebody better help me this morning. I would not have you to be ignorant. I would not have you running around talking about Snapchat, you seen ghosts and all that. No. Four. All right. I'm coming at you because they love to come at me. They love to come at me because I don't seemingly embrace the things of the world. And I don't, but I sure enough embrace the Word of God. And the Word of God says, study to show yourself approved. And whatever method you use to study is all right. See, when you can see real good, you carry a real big Bible. So nobody ever sees you with a smartphone, flip phone. But when you can't see no more, and your handheld smartphone amplifies the letters for you. All right. People thinking you Snapchatting and texting when you just studying the Word of God. It's all right. It's all right. They're not here to defend themselves. I'll let them go. 14. Let's go with 14 right quick, guys. He tells you why you ought not mourn like the rest of the world. He says here, do y'all hear this? For we believe that what? Jesus the Christ. You know, I'm talking about the same one who took off for momentarily divinity and put on humanity, yet retained divinity and humanity, came all the way down through 40 and two generations. That's 42 for you boys from Georgia. 42 generations, and he died. Jesus died for us. He says, Jesus came down and he died. But he says he didn't stay dead, evidently, because he says, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The same Jesus that died and got up is coming back. The question is, are you ready? The question is, not if you're getting ready, but are you ready? Y'all don't hear me. See, because this church at First Thessalonica, they thought it was imminent. You know, Jesus is coming back. So he says, look here, don't be worrying about, you know, talk to him in a minute over chapter 5. Worry about the season, time, and all that. He says, first of all, when someone dies that is a Christian, he says, remember, there was one that preceded him or them. And that one got up, and that one is coming back. The same one that got up is coming back, just like he said he would. Y'all read the Bible. I mean, even if you know the agenda in evangelism, that's chapter 1, verse 8, but you know there's a verse 9. And it's, you know, and it goes on to say, hey, ye men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing? The same Jesus that went up is coming back. And see, that's our hope, is that Jesus is coming back. 15, right quick. We say it by what's in the Bible. We don't say it based on people's opinion. We don't base it on the latest Facebook blog or post. We base this on the Word of God. And with that, does anybody recognize what this is? What is it called? Thank you. All right. There's sign up, get the brochures ready, Sister Khan. Okay. Here we have what is known as rapture of the church. And it says this Jesus who's coming back is coming back for the church. Y'all didn't get it. The same Jesus who left on an escalator is coming back, and he's not coming back to touch down on earth. He's coming back, according to John, the Revelator, says he's coming back, and those that are dead in Christ, in other words, those which have been saved, those which have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior, belongs to what we call the church. Okay, that is the church. Not just the Resurrection Baptist Church or the Resurrection Ministries or what rock or whatever you want to call them. He's coming back for the universal church. And he says, and those of you which are alive, y'all the church, you will not prevent, or in other words, you will not jump line ahead of those who've been rested, laid back. But the same ones who are in the grave, you remember in the grave that died, that sleep? I told you they would just sleep. See, they sleep has awakening, And death for the Christian has a resurrection. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Because those that are dead will get up, and the Revelator says that the body that was put in the grave is the same body that will get up out of the grave and be matched, a one-to-one correlation with the spirit that are with those that are coming on the white horse of glory, Jesus himself. Y'all not excited for me. If he came right now, all of us are inhaling and exhaling. We ain't in no grave. Jesus is not going to bring you up first. There's some brothers that's been laying in the grave a long time. Last time I checked, Joshua's in the grave. Abraham in the grave. Okay? All those folks, Martin Luther King, in the grave. In the grave. Well, you ain't jumping ahead of them. There's order, because God is a God of order. Oh, he's going to come back, and those that are asleep will not have to wait a moment longer. For the Lord himself. Y'all don't see that. He's not going to send Peter or the archangel Michael. He ain't going to send them. He says, the Lord himself, the one who came down to secure your salvation, is coming back for you just because he said he would. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Folks, we can get happy about that. Let me tell you what's up. Now, a lot of you do a lot of traveling now, especially, you know, we got all these retirees in the ministry now, and they just traveling. They go all over the world, and they see some marvelous things. But do you realize since Jesus left, Nikita, it's been over 2,000 years. If in 7 days, he built this beautiful place that y'all call beautiful now. And he went back 2,000 years ago to work on a place for me and you. That's going to be some kind of place. That's a place you want to tour. That's a place you just want to walk around and look and check out. Because it's going to be something else. Because if you think this world is something else, you can imagine that which he has prepared for us, what it's going to look like. Oh, that's hope, folk. That's hope. Pastor Brown, I imagine he preached this morning about sending treasures up, and he probably told his favorite story about you send the rich man who didn't send something up, and when he got there, he had a shack. Hey, guys, I've been here 28 years, okay? The vision is the same. So, here's what I'm saying. If you're in Jesus, and he's gone back to prepare a place for you, and now he's come back, you should look anticipatorily to that day. Oh, you ain't got nothing to be scared about. It's just like payday. I mean, when I was a young airman, payday was a day. I look forward to payday. What better pay are we going to get when we have to leave this old world? So why should we be afraid? And Paul said, don't be ignorant about it. Don't be scared of your reward. This same Jesus himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That shout is a command. Get up! You won't hear Hal Melvin in the Blue Note. Get up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Oh, this is Jesus talking. Don't confuse him with Harold Melvin. This is, in fact, Jesus the Christ. Jesus is saying, get up, no more sleeping. And the voice of the archangel with all the trump of God, the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Told y'all I wouldn't prevent. Because God is a God of order. It ain't going to be no mad rushing thing, Harriet. Everybody's going to get up in order. And see what happened? We got a glimpse of this over in Ezekiel long before the Old New Testament was ever written. Y'all remember Ezekiel, don't you? In the Valley of the Dry Bones. That is a preemptor. That shows us two things. It shows us resurrection and evangelism. Y'all must have thought y'all were at Antioch, Old Grove Baptist Church. This is the Resurrection Baptist Church. This is what we teach. This is what we know. This is what we believe. It says that the dead in Christ are going to get up first. Ezekiel says, I'll tell them I see something. I see a valley of dry bones. Bones that are no good. They are dead. They are deader than dead. I mean, because they dry bones. They're bones that are just scattered, not connected to anything. Total destruction, annihilated. And then Ezekiel said, you know what? I saw a bone. It was a foot bone. And that foot bone was connected to the ankle bone. And he says, then that ankle bone was connected to the leg bone, and the leg bone connected to the thigh bone, and on up, and he stood up as a mighty army. That's resurrection. That's resurrection, folks. So y'all don't tell me resurrection ain't in the in the Old Testament. Ezekiel saw it. Oh, and he was late. Abraham knew resurrection. Because Abraham says, though I slay this boy, God will save him anyway. He believed in resurrection. He said, though I slay him, because I'm going to kill him. God told me to kill him. Listen, the dead in Christ will rise first. But say, what about us? Okay, read it for yourself then. What it say? Oh, y'all better. Didn't you hear Ezekiel say he saw these bones connected? One to one? In other words, your bone ain't mixed up with my bone. We can be buried in the same grave. So he says, I wouldn't have you ignorant about, you know, how you gonna get up. You gonna get up in the same body that went in, the same body that was blown up in the air, the same body that was blown up in a land explosion, sea explosion, is going to find its own DNA and connect. And there is a one-to-one correlation. You worried about, what kind of funeral are we going to have? Wait a minute, they'll have cremate. We want to pray. You ain't got to worry about that. God says you're going to get up. One-to-one. And the spirit, remember those angels? Y'all thought they were angels. They were coming down with him, the ones that John saw. Those are the souls of the folk that are dead. And they're going to meet in the air. Grandmama's spirit is going to meet up with her physical body, and they will be one again. We're talking about resurrection. He says, that's what we believe. He says, oh, we got hope. We going down, but we ain't staying down. We going to get up. But if you come to basic doctrine, I'll tell you something else about the unsaved. You don't start clapping there. Because they're going to get up too. Oh, y'all better help me. Oh, come to basic doctrine. Verse 18 says, therefore what? Comfort one another with these words. You ought to be comforted. When someone dies and you know that you think, you believe, you feel in your heart that they are in the Lord, oh, that's a time to know. Lord, you're taking a good soldier on. Lord, when it's my time, I'm going to see him again. I'm going to see him again. Now, everybody can't get that testimony. I'm telling you, everybody can't get that testimony. See, when some folk get up in the church and they be talking about, I know I'll see mama again, let me tell you, you hide. And then, come mama hide right now. When she heard that, you ain't coming where I'm at. Hey, you got a hope. Folks, let me tell you one thing. I know we want to divide along theological and political lines and stuff, but you know what I am? I'm just me. God made me. I told you last week, I can't nobody beat me being me. You know, so, and can't nobody beat you being you. Don't be Democrat, Republican, don't be premillennialist, a postmillennialist, don't be none of that. Be a child of God. And know for yourself that this thing is real, that life is very real. We know that. Got a pain here. Got a pain here. But death is a reality. And it's a reality I don't have to fear. Just as he was with me in life, he's with me as I sleep. You know how I know? Because that which is materially me is in the grave. But that which is spiritually me is with him. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm comforted by those words. I'm comforted by the fact that this is not the end. Because if this was the end, I'd be running the other way, not trying to go toward the end. But you need to run on a little bit longer toward the end and see what the end is going to be. But Paul says you ain't got to guess. You can know that you're going to get up and be with him. And he says, comfort one another with these words. You're going through some tough things right now, but one day it'll all be over. And you'll be in the presence and the bosom of the Lord. And you know what? You ought to look with great glee toward that day. But then he said, but other times, y'all didn't see that. He threw a curveball on you. He said, oh, y'all was shouting, but during your shout, he slipped verse 1 of chapter 5 on you. He says, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. I ain't got to tell you about when it is or when it's going to happen. You just be ready. Storm, please help me out, because they're going to get me. I am tired of Christian folk talking about I'm getting ready. No, you're not to get ready. You're to be ready. Some of you don't get it. There was a brother who used to work down at A1 garage shop. And it's like 10 minutes to 6 on a Friday afternoon. Weekend's about ready to get on. And all the guys, they done put away their tools and they done got into their new clothes and they're just ready to punch the clock. And they asked him, hey, friend, aren't you ready to go home? He said, yeah. Well, you don't look ready. You got on overalls and all that. I said, let me tell you boys something. This is a couple of them young techies, you know. Hey, you know. I said, he unzipped his overall. And under it, the bulb was so sharp, he was casket clean. That's right, he's what the deacons call casket clean. Oh, he was sharp. He was sure enough sharp. And the guys, look at me. He said, you see, I stay ready so I don't have to get ready. Oh, that's a lot of theology in that. Because you ain't got no business getting ready when the train is pulling out. You got to be ready when the train comes. There ain't no getting ready. He says Christians ought to be maturing. Oh, yeah, if they find out the reason why he says there's no seasons and stuff like that, don't try to figure it out so that you'll say, well, I want to live righteously. I live this lewd lifestyle all my life. And then just when I know the season is coming, I get right, I start changing. Paul says, you're making a big mistake there. He goes on to tell you why. He says, for yourselves, know what? Perfectly, that the day of the Lord He said, because you don't know when he's coming. He's coming like a thief in the night. And see, you got to understand. You got to look at the audience now. Know the context. See, because that don't mean nothing to you jokers. Because a thief in the night, the day thieves come all day long. They didn't go to the, they didn't take a course in thiefology. They didn't go to the school of thievery. You know, they just show up anytime, take your stuff all the time. But Paul knew one thing. A thief at night, normally they come because people are settled, relaxed. Now we work 24/7, you know, it's round the clock, you know. So thieves, they say, we rob when we can. Day and night. That's the new thief. So, I mean, we need to update the text a little bit. But Paul says there's a greater principle here. The principle is the thief in the night will come. The thief will come at night because you're relaxed. The thief will come when you least expect it. When you ain't thinking about nothing, the thief will come. He says, for when they shall say peace and safety, now that's the word of the Lord. Let me tell you one thing, folks. Ain't being political, ain't being nothing. But don't you put your trust in the security of this nation. That you're going to be secure. They can build 40 walls. They won't be secure. Like, wait a minute. The last time I checked, isn't there? Wait a minute. You're a man of the world. You look like a deacon over at Resurrection that travels the world for it. Don't they have a great wall around China? But I bet you they got some ICBMs. I bet you they got some drones. You know why? Because the wall wouldn't keep them out. The Romans, that was a term there, that peace and security. That's what the Romans always said. Peace and security. You seen the Roman guard? Peace and security. Man, they were ready. They said, oh, we secure now. We ready. He said, that'll all be destroyed. He says, like a pregnant woman, all of a sudden with labor pains. Them pains just come out from nowhere. Ow! How did you go? Where did that come from? I don't know where it came from, but get the car. Get my bag. Hey, y'all always talking about, see, you know what, man? You know, the thing about it, those of us who've been married a while, you know, we know that kind of thing. Had a few children, you know, we know that they come when you least expect it. When you just not getting your groove on, you know. Here come a pain, and that pain is hard. And you know what? He says, there won't be no escape. He says, but you, brethren, see, the day is them, those that are in darkness. Folks, you can have all the tolerance you want. You can accept anything you want to accept. But Jesus the Christ was clear. Here's what he said. No man or woman will come to the Father except by me. You don't get no plainer than that. And so when he says those that are with him are in the light and those that are against him are in the dark, he's saying, you folk that are in the dark, you're going to get hit like a thief run up on you in your bedroom. You won't know which way to go. He said, but you that have the light, he says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. He says, Christians are vigilant. You know how I know he says it? Keep reading. verse 5 says what?
We are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are
not
of the night nor of darkness.
Matter of fact, if you were supposed to be children of the light, why did you do so much darkness? Why do you hang around in the dark? Come on, folks. And we just got through talking last week. You don't go out and buy no brand new clothes, new shoes, and all that stuff.
And then don't take a bath? Why do you hang around in darkness? You people are the light. You ought to start acting like the light. Why would I want to go act like the darkness when the thief is there? I don't want to be hanging around the dark. I ain't seeing the light. So wait a minute. I know I don't want to get nowhere dark. I want to at least see the thief so that the thief doesn't surprise me. But Jesus here says the thief will surprise you because he works in darkness and you're in light. You're used to light. So you don't, darkness, you never even think about that. You know, you're just like the nice person walking down in the neighborhood. I like them tourist movies where they be going down to a rough neighborhood. Oh, look at there. This is a historic area. Wolves. Wolves be sitting there. Look at this. What chump we gonna take today? And if it wasn't for God, it wasn't for the mercy of God, many of us would have been consumed longer time because we hang around in darkness. The thief is going to come when it's dark. When it's dark. Thank you. Therefore, what? See, he slipped a term in on you. Sleep. See, the sleep there ain't talking about. It's talking about being awake. It's talking about being vigilant. Don't go to sleep at the wheel. Don't let the devil lull you into this world thinking that this is what it's all about. You sleep at the wheel. That's why Teddy and Melvin, they had that song, Wake Up Everybody. No more sleep in bed. Oh, that's a deep song when you think about it. You ought to listen to what's being said. You gotta wake up. The world don't care nothing about you. The world will kill and destroy you and try to claim you for its own. But you are not of the darkness. You are not of the world. The world's supposed to be dark. God brought you out of the dark into a marvelous light. You ought to walk in the light as he is in the light. And he says he is pure light and there's no darkness in him. He don't want to fool with it. Now, if God don't want to fool around in the dark, why you? Your protection is supposed to be in the light. So what you decide to do is go walk in the dark. All the M16s, all the knives, all the swords, all the Glocks over here in the light, and you're there walking in the dark. Tiptoe through the tulip. That's all you're doing? Okay, all right. But therefore, you got to watch. You got to be sober. You can't, you know that sober there? That could be, don't be stupid. You ought to be serious about this thing. Don't go out and, because most Christians playing around in the dark is just, it's stupid. They know better. And when you know better, you ought to do better. And that's all he's saying. He's saying you ought to be sober. And you know how I know? Verse 7, he says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that are, there again, Paul, you don't understand this 21st century crowd. These boys sleep 24/7. They sleep in the day and the night. They drink in the day and the night. There ain't no time for nothing but sleeping and drinking. See, y'all, run the pastor around and tell him on me. But I'm just telling you what the word says. That we've gotten so involved that we've brought nighttime to us every day. When Annie sung, the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that the sun, it'll come out. You know why? Because the sun is always shining.
But if you just get from this dark place that you're in, you'll see that light. You'll meet that light. If you're not drinking and hanging out and doing all this kind of craziness that is totally beyond your lifestyle, you shouldn't act like the world. The world is drunk. I guarantee you the world is drunk. Let me tell you something. I ran with some boys in Vietnam that was a lot sober than the world we are today. And matter of fact, they were drinking Crown Royal and Tanqueray and Jack Daniels and Black Label, Johnny Walker Red and Johnny Walker Black, Gordon. We were drinking all of that. We're a lot sober than the world is today. The devil today and his world is just totally drunk. Because let me tell you what. Sober folk would not be acting the way that our world is acting today. They're drunk. Okay? So when somebody said, hey, he up there talking to me, he don't know all about it. Every one of them I call, I've had some dealings with them. All them names I called them boys that I used to run with, Jack and, you know, Johnny, I had dealings with them. So I know, don't tell me. I mean, you know, just didn't get saved last night, this morning before the lesson. Been saved a long time. But being saved and living saved is two different things. Y'all better hear me. And Paul is just saying, you guys are being cute with this thing, and it is deadly. It is deadly to you because these boys, you're like sheep, and the big bad wolf is out there. And he's going to get you when you let your guard down. You let your guard down. Oh, brother Sneeze, let me just go on and break it down. Let me tell you something. You single folk, you let your guard down when you let somebody blow sweet nothing into your ear and they ain't got no good intentions. You married folk, you let your guard down when the grass on the neighbor's side looks better than your side. You let your guard down. And the devil knows that. Oh, y'all, yeah. Oh, no, I don't like that. But, okay. Russell, you know, you sound to me like you telling single folk don't talk to one. I ain't telling you that. I'm telling you that if a brother is blowing in your ear, sister, and he's blowing sweet nothing, you ask him one question. Are you willing to die for me? And if he says no, you tell him to walk on. My brother, she blown up in your ear. She's the best thing since sliced bread, telling you all this good stuff. You ask her one question, are you a giver? If she says, move on. Come to basic doctrine. Come to basic doctrine. Oh, y'all want me to keep going? Oh, thank you. I'll go. All right. Come to basic doctrine. All right. Now, it says, but let us who are of the day be what?
Sober.
Putting on what?
The salvation.
The three general qualities of every Christian, faith, hope, and love. You got to put them on every day. You got to put them on every day. You got to, because the adversary, the devil, and these are all defensive clothing, protection. You got to protect your heart with faith and love. You got to protect your head with the helmet of salvation. You got to get saved because this is your headquarters. If the headquarters goes, you out of commission. Ask folk with them big old strong bodies and no mind. You got to put it all on. Don't put on half the gear. One of the big things that we hear is that doing exercises, you know, is especially during the war days, is, you know, putting on your helmet. God didn't want to mess up their dues. So they didn't want to put the helmet on. Oh, they didn't put the helmet on because it's so heavy. I'm going to put my bike helmet on. It's so hot. It's going straight. When you crack that head, you'll put it on. And the devil is out to crack heads and to pierce hearts and the very bowels. So you got to put on faith and love. You got to put on the helmet of salvation so that you are protected. As we go, for God hath not appointed to wrath, but but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Did y'all hear that? Because Lucy, I heard them all ago. You didn't see them, because I know you would have got up and whooped. Some of them looked at me like, yeah, that's more than Jesus. What did he say? Salvation by who? Jesus. Not nobody else. You can believe anything else you want to. And you can say, well, you're insensitive. No, I'm not insensitive. I'm smart. I know when I read something, you know, it's just like a prescription. If you got two medicines, and one is for this, and one is for that, and it tells you, please do not mix these. Mixing these will cause instant death. Would you take both of those? Well, who in here would take both of them? Because y'all smart. It ain't because you're discriminating against Abbott versus Bristol-Myers Squibb. It's just that you're smart. You know that those two medications don't mix. And you know why? Because Jesus the Christ died for us. That whether we what? Somebody better shout. You know why? Because he said, you ain't got to hurry up and go to the grave. Because the thief is going to come, will come anytime. And the thief can only operate with you during your waking hours down here on earth. He says, but there is one that doesn't, it doesn't matter whether you sleep or you're awake. He's capable of taking you into his presence. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, don't you worry about those who've gone on before you. Jesus is coming back. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Don't you worry about the ones that are still toiling down. Oh, I just wish you could go on home and not suffer anymore. Don't you worry about that. God in his own sovereign time, in his appointment that's on their calendar, worrying about when somebody's going to go that they're suffering, the word of God is clear. Hebrews 9 says, it is appointed once for man to die, and then the judgment. But then Paul tells us here today that you and I ain't got to worry about wrath. He says, you're going to get up in that great getting up morning, and you're going to be with Christ. And you don't even have to die to be with him. Because if he came right now, those of us that are in the Lord are going to be caught up. It's the church. It says we will be caught up. But let me tell you one thing. I read the scriptures. Let me tell you one thing. It says it's appointed once to die. Now, this is a basic doctrine thing. Y'all think about this now. If it's appointed once for everybody to die, what happens if the rapture happens now? According to scripture, it says, you shall not sleep, but you will be changed. Oh, y'all better help me. Y'all better come to basic doctrine. But you will be changed. And let me tell you something, folks. When I read that, people were like, oh, yeah, yeah. See, some of us won't ever have to die. Yeah, we won't ever have to die eternally. But you ain't getting into heaven with this mess that we got here. No. You know why? Because it's got to be changed. There's a correlation one-to-one between the body that goes in the grave and the body that inhabits the spirit. If you are caught up right now, you have to be changed in order to inhabit your glorified body. Am I getting too deep for you? Come to basic doctrine. Now, because that's what we teach. That's what we know. That furthers your understanding. Paul says, I would not have you join the largest congregation in the world. And does anyone know what that congregation is? The congregation of the ignorant brothers. That's what he said. He starts the lesson off. I will not have you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be a part of that congregation. I want you to be a part of a congregation who knows how they got saved, why they got saved, where they're going, what happens to their loved ones that go on before them, what's going to happen, that there's an assurance that you will see those that love Christ, and if you love Christ, you'll wind up in the same place. That's enough.